Blog Talk Radio.
Good dark and stormy night to everybody. This is Pop Culture Stars. I'm Dr. John, somehow at the helm tonight. Glad to be with everybody. All of our fans, we got a bunch of them. Thank you for the kind emails and things like that. We really appreciate it. And hello to all of our visitors and listeners on VOC Nation, iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, and if you're anywhere else, tune in. Let us know. Anyway, thanks. It's good to be here with you. And we got a lot of great things happening. First of all, I will be on here a limited time tonight because I will be with Jen Cruz on the Journey Radio, and that's going to be a blast at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to be talking about some crazy things. I'm going to tell just a little bit about them, but I would like to first introduce the best cast of hosts and co-hosts in the world. First of all, from Eastern North Carolina, hey, Papa Stroh, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing great. Always glad to have you. I know you got a bunch of great things going on and all that good stuff. Let's see. Dave Atwell. Dave's going to be at the helm when I check out. How are you doing, buddy, Dave?
Hey, doing real good. Enjoying a little fresh air out here despite the rain and the chilly weather. It's still nice fresh air. I hope everybody's doing all right.
All right. Glad to have you here. Todd, from up there in cold Indianapolis, how are you doing?
I am outstanding, the supernatural, and as always, ecstatic to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here with us, and we appreciate it. And, of course, it wouldn't be the same without the one and only, the Queen of Liz Brackett. How are you doing tonight, Liz?
Well, you know, I was a little cold, and then I got on this wonderful podcast with you gentlemen, and now I'm warm on the inside. I have missed you, fellas, and now my day can begin.
That's good. All right, you said
that,
the funniest.
That's called acid reflux, Liz.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
I need some Prevacid, I guess.
OTC. You know what is funny, Liz? I said something to you, and you just insulted the heck out of me in a very good-natured, wonderful way. I said, Liz, you know, we haven't had a chance to talk in a while. We need to talk. And your remark was, this was before the show starts, your remark was, yeah, you got my number.
What I said
Damn.
Was my number hasn't changed.
Well, that's basically what you said.
Yeah. But that just means it's an open invitation for you to call whenever you'd like.
I know.
Actually,
thank you.
That sounds like she's got your number, Dr. John. I'm just saying.
She did. She did. I mean, you know, there are four people that got my number, and they're on the line with me. So that's great. But yeah, yes, ma'am, Liz, I will give you a call. I've been... It has been unusually busy in the Comic-Con and event world, and I am grateful, and lots of folks wanting events, and I guess they want Comic-Con style events, so I appreciate it greatly.
Well,
don't
tease me, Dr. John. I mean, don't tease me with a potential phone call. Call me. I mean it.
Oh, I will.
I'll
it'll be
answer
tomorrow.
When I see your name pop up.
Well, thank you. No, it'll be tomorrow, because tonight, as I said, I'll be on the Journey Radio with Jen Cruz. Always look forward to it. Always got crazy stuff to talk about, and I hope all of you can join us. It's thejourneyradio.com, and it's a lot of fun. And I will have some surprising comments to make. I'll make a few of them tonight just to, so I can get warmed up. But anyway, the big news, at least on my Facebook page, is Papa Stroh has a big photo album out. And Papa Stroh, can you just tell us a little bit about it? It is marvelous.
Which one are you referring to? I have quite a few on my page.
The one that just came out that's getting all the buzz, like, today. It has, like...
There's a couple of them, actually. There's a couple
of them. Really? Oh, is that the deal?
Which one are you referring to?
It says, this is great, WCW, Stroh in WCW Wrestling, # Team Stroh. Starts out with two pictures.
Oh, yeah, that's the archive one, yeah. just putting up some old photos from the past, from the album. So I'm glad everyone enjoyed them.
Oh, absolutely. They are great. You are as you are now. You are the star. I mean, and the picture that I like the best is you with Mean Gene Okerlund. It's just the one there on the left. It is fantastic, and you as the maestro is just, it's just incredible stuff. And that was a heck of a run.
Mean Gene was a great guy. He really was a great guy, and a pleasure to be with him and Bobby Heenan. For sure, we're two of my favorite people during that time.
Yeah, and there's a great picture of you with, I believe the young lady's name is Symphony, right? She was
yes,
your valet, right?
Very, very, very nice lady. Even to this day, staying in touch. I think she just does some modeling every now and then up in Arizona. But very nice lady. But her, and you mentioned Bobby, Mean Gene, Sherry Martel, they were some of my favorite people to be around. So, yeah, good times, great people from around the world. So always be grateful for that moment.
Yeah, well, it's an incredible, incredible album, and really like it. And you got tons and tons of folks that are liking it and sharing it, and that's great. And just wanted to say kudos to you for that. And by the way, when you scroll up to the top, we see Dusk. What's the latest on Dusk? Because you're our guy on Dusk. You're the star. The great internet series produced by Ronald Rossman.
May 30th is the day that season 3 will begin. We're still filming season 3 as we speak. But expect a lot of exciting events to go down in season 3. Things are really going to be stepping up story-wise, and a lot of excitement in the air for season 3. So for all the Dust series fans that have kept up with the series, season 1, season 2, so a lot of exciting things ahead. So be on the lookout for season 3 to begin online May 30th on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Dust Series, the USK Series, and both to get to the respective pages. It's going to be the production level has really stepped up, and in talks of syndication through some networks as well. So on the eve of some pretty pretty big things ahead for the series. I couldn't be more happier for everyone in the Dust series. Great cast and crew, and it's been such a pleasure to be a part of the Dust series.
Well, absolutely, and so happy for you and for Ronald Rossman, who's been friend for a long time. What a great guy. And I notice, just looking at Papa Stro Maestro page, I see the banner for the Charlotte Comic Con. I am suspecting you will be there with all of us this coming Sunday, right?
Well, I wouldn't be advertising it, but I wouldn't be there. I don't put things up if I'm not advertised. So I definitely will be there. It'd be great to see everyone there in the Charlotte Concord area. And should be a good time. It's one of my favorite places to be every year. Nice area, great folks, and should be a good time.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be good to see you. I'll be there with Carolina Caricatures. I don't know if anybody else from our crew will be there, but it's always a lot of fun to be up there with Dave Henson, Rick Fortenberry, who run it. They do a good job, and to see the whole cast and crew of Dusk. So it will be a lot of fun. So I think that's great. All right, here's what I'm going to do, because I'm on a little bit of a short time fuse today. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask each of you, because we talked to Papa Stro about what he's up to. I want to hear what you guys are doing, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I'm going to talk about with Jen Cruz. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope everybody can join us on the Journey Radio tonight. So I'm gonna pick on one of my favorite people. I have three more favorite people here. I'm gonna pick on Liz. What are you up to these days, Liz?
Well, it's funny that Jay asked me that. I'm currently gonna be working in Charlotte for the next 4 days, which actually piques my interest about the Comic-Con. I am working on Sunday, but if I get out early enough, I sure would love to hang out with you guys and have a beer.
I'd love to see if you in that way for sure, Liz. But NBC Suites in Concord, North Carolina.
Do I get a room key?
Well, I'll for sure will.
Well, that's what they're having the actual Comic Con.
Oh, I thought you was inviting me to something. Okay.
Well, hey, you never know. Things come up like that every now and then. So, hey, be around.
I think it's pretty cool how the stars seem to have aligned this week, though. Like, I wasn't prepared to work this gig, and it just kind of fell in my lap about 3 days after I got back to Pennsylvania, and I was like, well, okay, cool. I'll go down to Charlotte for a handful of days, and how awesome is it that you guys are going to be there? So, I mean, it's about time that I'm able to give hugs all around, I really think. It's just about that time. I mean, how long have we been chatting? What, 2 years now almost? Maybe a little longer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've only had dinner with Dr. John. I think it'd be nice to hang out and have a beer with you guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll make sure you got a free pass in. Don't worry about that. My buddies Dave and Rick. Dave and Rick can always, and when you go in there, Papa Stroh is on the left, as usual with the Dusk series and all the stars. They're on the left there next to the window. And then Cody and I will be against the back wall next to our buddies DJ's Decals doing Liz, we'll do a caricature of you. Yes.
Make sure to draw sparkles and glitter all over.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, what we can do, Papa Stroh, if you can make it in there for a few minutes, we'll do one of the three of us, and I'll make sure that we have a picture of Todd and a picture of Dave, and we'll have all five of us on the Comic-Con, on the Pop Culture Stars, and we'll put this up. I think that'd be great.
Oh, I love it. I love this idea.
Is that okay, Papa Stroh?
Sure.
All righty. Well, that sounds good. We'll definitely do it. And Liz, just let us know. Shoot us a text. Or maybe
my schedule is, though. It's usually a 12-hour day. So if we go in early, I might get out early enough. But if we go in late, there might not be a chance. But still, I might have time for a beer if you guys haven't left yet. But that's the downside to working in production world is you got 12-hour days when you're working on a television show. So. But I'd like to hope that I'll get out soon enough.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Well, I'm glad that's why we do these roundtables. So, Todd, what's up with you, buddy?
Well, first off, I would love to tell y'all happy first day of spring.
Is that what this is?
Yep. this is technically second happy winter, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, winter's always coming along. No, the work season, the cycle is going full tilt. We had a major visit a week and a half ago, and we got another one coming up this week, and we're getting ready to rock it, roll it, while keeping all the other things moving forward. You know, it's been a long week, and one of those things, you know, there's just having the context switch constantly while at work, which kind of prepares me for these podcasts. With all the context switching we do. So it's been hard to stay focused, get the stuff done, but, you know, every fire that comes up, we don't not only put it out, we got a, you know, way to build a better fireplace when we're done. So I'm digging it. We're rocking, we're rolling, we're getting stuff done, and I'm feeling jealous that I ain't going to be in Charlotte this weekend.
You'll be there because you're always in my heart, buddy.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah. See? Look at that.
I think he's speechless. What happened?
You're going to make the cat jealous. But I want to know about what you were actually doing in Pennsylvania. You're up there on the project. I know what's not real warm in Pennsylvania. You're talking a ton of different geography, so it could have been somewhere really cool.
Yeah, it was actually pretty interesting. We were shooting corporate video, so it's not going to be something anybody's going to see unless you work for the corporation that we're working with. But I will say that, and I can actually share you guys a photo in the group chat, but we shot a sunrise, and the garage that we were shooting was nestled in between a couple of hills. So the sunrise that came up, it almost looked like the mountains were kind of on fire, but like covered in cotton candy. It was beautiful. So I'll send you guys the photo of that so you guys can see that. But I think that was probably one of the coolest sunrises I've seen, in, at least on this coast. I saw a really fancy sunrise that was really beautiful. I don't want to say fancy, but it was gorgeous when I was over in Utah. And then, of course, obviously any sunrise in Alaska is gorgeous. But on the East Coast, I will say I think that might be my favorite sunrise I've ever seen here.
Very nice.
Yeah.
See, you knew there was a cool story out of that. Very cool indeed.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, Todd, we're glad you're with us. We're glad we know what you're doing, and as soon as you're going to be coming back down here, we're going to make an event of it. So just keep us surprised and let us know, okay?
Well, I'll let you know. Just, you know, it will be a hot mess. There is no doubt about it.
Well, we'll have to have a cookout when you come back, so it'll be great. Absolutely.
Oh, I know how
we'll
those work.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that Liz knows how to get over there. Well, I'll help. I guarantee you, so... it'll be a lot of fun.
I might actually know a guy who can cook a hog for us.
Oh.
Ooh.
I happen to know quite a few people with hog cookers themselves, but maybe I can put us together a nice little food fiesta.
That's exactly right. Maybe we can do something with it, too. So that's a great idea, Liz. Be sure to let Todd, let me know as soon as you know when you'll be down here. I'll talk with Liz. I'll talk, of course, with Papa Stro and Dave. And we'll see if we can't do something really special for when you come down here for Pop Culture Stars. We'll be doing it probably in the Jacksonville area, which would be good and central for everybody and your grill, Todd. So that'll be awesome.
It'd be nice to have Pop Culture Stars that night, just having a nice beer, a nice pulled pork barbecue sandwich, and just shooting the breeze.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bring
the microphone.
Go ahead.
That ain't a bad idea. Yeah.
I
sounds like a good summer night to me.
The guys know I tend to do my smoking more Southwest. Love doing the brisket, the ribs, and probably my favorite all time is smoked turkey.
Ooh,
oh,
you
yeah.
win. I want some smoked turkey. You totally win this one.
That's right. Well, that sounds good. We'll all converge on Jacksonville, and that'll be a lot of fun. So thanks, Todd, and just let us know as soon as you know. And Dave Atwell, what do you do? What talk to us about what's going on with your life right now.
To be honest with you, I'm trying to get used to this retired life. I'm still finding myself getting up, setting out my clothes the night before, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I'm not wearing slacks anymore. Why do I have to make sure these are hanging on the back of a chair? So it's taking a little adjustment. The new business is going very, very well, and I totally expect to be in action by late next week, if not the week after. So look forward to doing that, and took a little downtime today and blew the dust off of the files for the books, and now that I won't be working from sun up to sundown and in between, time to get back to writing and do what I enjoy. So it's been pretty nice getting back into the book series and everything. And it's time to get it going again. I mean, it wasn't failing in the first place. Just had an unfortunate event with business, but we take care of the real world issues that we get put in front of us, and we bury them. And we move on. And so, yeah, like to insanity and beyond, right?
That is exactly right. That's exactly right, Dave. So, yeah, I'm glad to have you. You know what was great is I actually called Dave today at about 5 o'clock, and I knew he would answer the phone.
And I was able to talk,
right?
And Dave would never answer the phone before. It went to voicemail, and maybe a week later I'd get a phone call back, and I'd be doing whatever. But, yeah, Dave, it's good to have you back in the real world. And
I appreciate it. I was speaking to my brother the other night, and my brother says, man, you sound different. And I says, what do you mean, like I'm coming in and out, you know, like you can't hear me? He goes, no, I hear you fine. He says, you sound happy. You sound content. And I'm like, I never sound content before. He goes, no. I said, thanks, buddy.
I just thought I'd like to point out, hey, Liz, he knows how to call Dave.
I know. I was going to say, well, I tell you what, why don't you call me, and then we'll make John jealous.
Yeah, call her. Yeah, we'll all talk. Yeah, things are looking up and everything, so it's all good. And I guess what I'll say is, Dave, you know, thanks. You made me laugh today. It's been the first time I've laughed in a few days. It's been rough, but it's been good. You said a couple things. There was one thing you said to me, and it just made me laugh hysterically. Oh yeah. I remember what it was. Dave, do you remember the joke? And I want to share it with everyone as I move into my little segment of what I'm going to talk about tonight. What did you tell me?
Okay, the joke is, what happens when you don't pay your exorcist?
I know
you
this one. You got it from me. You got that.
That
you
is,
stole my joke.
Man, that was a joke going on in grade school, for crying out loud. That thing right there has been around for, that's why when John said he hadn't heard it, I was like, you've never heard that joke?
I've never heard that joke. So, All right, Todd.
I actually don't know the joke.
All right, the joke is, what happens if you don't pay your exorcist? I'm going to call on Todd. Todd, tell us what happens when you don't pay your exorcist.
Why, as everybody knows, you get repossessed.
Wait a minute.
You know why Beelzebub went ahead and took the priest to court over the exorcism, right? He
no,
said possession
is not
done for the law. Why the demon took the exorcist to the court?
Right. Yeah.
Yep. He said it was still his property. Possession's 9/10 of the law.
Okay.
Is this joke hour?
No, I was using Liz. This is called a bridge. You know about bridges in production, or in plot lines. I'm bridging from one thing to the next. So that's why I picked this joke. And so now I'm going to bridge into my little segment here of what's going on with me. Tonight I'm going to be on Jen's show, Jen Cruz, the She Squatchers. We love Jen to death. She's a great lady. Tammy Trichel, and along with Jenna Grover, they are some of the nicest people I've ever met. They're all professional psychics. They're all Bigfoot hunters, and they all have a full-time job. I mean, what more can you ask for? So anyway, my topic tonight is Bigfoot, cryptids, and little people. And it's like, oh, my goodness, what is that going to be? But I can always count on some of the interesting people that I meet to help me out with a topic that I picked out a month ago. And sure enough, I met a lady named Robin McCray. You can check out the interview with Robin on BigfootAndCompany.com with myself and Matt Delf. She is a lady that talks about seeing Bigfoot all the time. And what I can say is she sent me a bunch of pictures. And there's a bunch of images of Bigfoot all over. And I had a friend of mine who does forensics, and he said those images were not altered. Apparently she sees a lot of Bigfoot where she lives, and she lives here in South Carolina, from Michigan formerly. And she and I have talked quite extensively since Monday. You know, it's like I'm always very careful who I talk to about things. And she was talking about how the fact that Bigfoot really can't live here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because there, you know, if there were that many Bigfoot in the forest all the time, everybody would see them. So they must be somewhere else sometimes. So we've been talking about the world of portals and the fact that there are different worlds, different universes, different dimensions, and they pop in and pop out. And the reason that makes sense is a very scientific notion of the idea of minimal sustainable population. Scientists, biologists especially, came up with this notion in the early 1900s that it takes about 750 entities to create a population that will sustain itself in a localized area. Now, if there were 750 Bigfoot around in the Francis Marion National Forest between here, where I live, Myrtle Beach, and Charleston, my Lord, everybody would see Bigfoot all the time. So there must be another explanation, and that is that they may be somewhere else, and they come in and visit with us in and out. Now, and people can say, well, John, you're crazy. Because, first of all, that doesn't agree with what Neil deGrasse Tyson says. Neil's a great guy. He's a marvelous scientist, but he's a little bit too caught up in the his scientific method that he doesn't have any room for something that doesn't adhere strictly to the scientific method. Scientific method meaning you can perform an experiment, and then you can perform it again in a different location, different time, different place, and you get the same result. That's wonderful, but that's a real 1600 notion. That is not a 2019 notion. And he laughs at everything we call paranormal. And I'm coining the term extra normal because there are things that we cannot duplicate. And I remember when I was for a time, and I was a college professor in a science department in a university, and it was preached to me about the scientific method, and that's all we wanted to talk about. And I finally said, you know, there are things that we can't explain, and if you look at 100 years ago, you could talk about something, and today we consider it reality, and you can go buy it at Walmart. Like my great, I think it's the best little story I've ever given is that, you know, in 1900 or in 1919, we'll just do it 100 years ago, you could say that in 100 years, there will be a little tiny black box that you can punch on and you can talk to somebody halfway across the world. And if you'd have said that to someone, they'd have said, well, you're crazy. In fact, if you'd have pressed the issue, they'd have done something about you being crazy. Well, today, that's something you can buy at Walmart, Cricket, Verizon, and everywhere else. It's called a cell phone. So next century's technology is this century's witchcraft and extra paranormal. And so that's all I've got to say. And I think there are those of us that we don't, you know, there's only so many experiments that I can do before I get bored. That's why I left the university world. But in exploring all this and trying to figure out what in the heck is going on, why can we see things sometimes, not see them, it's a fact of life. But let's talk about it and let's get the dialogue going. So that's when I talk about Bigfoot, cryptids, and little people, I'm going to talk about why do some people see them, why do some people not? Why are they there sometimes, why are they not? Why doesn't it fit the model for Neil deGrasse Tyson and the scientific method? Well, there's a reason, and I think there's a very good reason. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, and I hope everybody will join us at 10 o'clock on thejourneyradio.com, and I'll be talking as eloquently as I possibly can, like a guy that does have a science degree from NC State. But I'm going to ask some tough questions for so-called scientists. They're so tied to the scientific method. And what's a portal?
Well, I mean, there's some stuff with that method and doing things that people already know will never come out exactly the same. If anybody's ever made their own sourdough culture, started
okay.
It themselves, you can go to, you know, France is well known for it. You can pick the most wonderful, and you can take it back to wherever you live, taking all the proper care, and it'll never be the same because that's not the stuff in the air where you are.
Same thing about New York pizza. It's the same thing.
I thought it was all the same. I thought it was duplicatable. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Liz. I mean, that's the whole point.
No. There are regional, kind of just like the sea salt is different from different places.
It is different. And then you can make a statement, well, it's always the same here, but not necessarily. Because I remember when my grandmother would cook, some days she would say, this worked great. she'd do exactly the same thing, and it wouldn't work right. Defies the scientific method.
And humidity levels, all that stuff. But, yeah, absolutely. Your sourdough culture is very – it will mutate.
Okay.
I think
in a lot of ways, it's like
being colorblind. You know, there are certain frequencies that people can and can't see. And, you know, now they've got glasses that you can put on, if you're colorblind, to be able to see the frequencies that you've not been able to see before. And a lot of people never even know they're colorblind because that's just what they've always seen. So I wonder if in some, you know, frequencies, you know, some people are more tuned into certain frequencies more. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I kind of was going somewhere with it, and then I kind of, like, fell off. But the point is just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there because,
I agree. Actually, I was kind of thinking, you know, different animals' natural ability with night vision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jen Cruz put it very well, as she is a professional psychic and she is very good at what she does. She said that the numbers that people estimate are there are 200 billion bits worth of information bombarding you at all times. But now that's 200 billion. But we can only absorb and understand a quarter of a million. And that's a huge difference. And the fact is, someone that is known to be perceptive can feel those other things. They can understand something's getting ready to happen before it happens. I've had that experience many times, and I think that's what it is. But it's unfortunately just because we can't measure it yet, Dr. Tyson, doesn't mean that it's not real. We don't have the equipment and the understanding to be able to measure this, but there are those of us that really believe it. And we're going to talk about Stargate. We're going to talk about portals. We're going to talk about all these things that are beginning to make sense. My buddy, Dr. Trey Donaway, and I'm going to have Trey on here as soon as he gets back from Portugal. He's one of the nicest people and one of the smartest people. He's a surgeon. He's one of the nicest people I have ever met. And he sent me a thing. It was an article from the Orlando Sentinel, and you can find it on ScaryCast on Facebook. And it talks about how scientists are starting to believe that UFOs exist. And I sent him a message back. He's in Portugal. And I said, this is a joke. I mean, people have known about this since the dawn of time, and scientists are just now beginning to think it might be real. That puts scientists in the realm of the least responsive and folks that don't care about anything. I mean, we've known about this since the dawn of time. I'm going to talk about portals. So anyway, I think I'm getting a call from the Journey Radio. I want to say thank you. I'm going to knock off, and I'm going to put Dave, this is scary, but I'm going to put you in charge of everything. Is that okay?
Yeah, especially when we're segueing from Bigfoot crawling out of a portal into Dave driving the car. Yeah. Hell of a setup. Doom
okay.
will fail.
No, Doom will succeed.
All I can think of with Dave being in charge of the soundboard is, hey, y'all, watch this. Here, hold my beer.
Yeah.
All right.
Here.
All right, so
what
I'm
going to do is... Can you tell me what the sound is?
All right, so I am going to drop off, and Dave, you, sir, are in charge. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than later. And yes, Liz, I promise I'll give you a call, okay?
Au revoir, mon ami.
Bye-bye.
All right,
good night, John.
Good, brother.
All right, so to pick this up, leave it to John to leave me on a Bigfoot topic. Now, you guys know how
UFOs,
I feel about
Dave.
That.
We were on UFOs.
But, you know, it's... And we can kind of segue into this. I'd like to kind of drift from the Bigfoot and little people speech. But if you look, this was something, God, what was I watching the other day? I wasn't really watching. It was background noise type thing. But they were talking about how if you go to Angkor Wat, you go to Machu Picchu, you go to the pyramids, that kind of stuff, is that if you really stop and look at the hieroglyphs and the cave paintings or whatever you want to call it, there are certain traces of depictions of stuff that you knew didn't exist back then. It'd be one thing, take for instance, to take a king or a pharaoh or something like that and to put a sun over his head. Of course, that would probably be just more of an honorific through art more than anything else. But there's other things where they actually show people in certain garb or using certain weapons that certainly were not present at the time that the art was created. So who's to say? I mean, could there be, something that was something that we don't know about, something that has left and can't return to explain? Well, anybody out there? Help me out with that.
No, dude. I'm with you. There's certain things. Some of the Egyptian hieroglyphs that look crazily like one. You know, I know they keep calling it a submarine, but darn if it don't look like a modern speedboat. Another one sure looks like a helicopter. There's another one that could easily be said is from all those 50s, 60s B-movies, could be any one of those flying saucers. There's stuff sometimes that doesn't make sense. It's just like, wait a minute. It's one of these things does not look like the others.
Right.
I'll go with that. I mean, the theory is, could some of these aliens be us time travelers, or who knows? I think one of the great UFO stories is that Air Force base in England. Radar had them come, radar sent the people out, vectored some people off to the side because they had something in the air that went down. They thought some type of aircraft would go out. They get over there and they saw an aircraft and stuff. And it turns out that the one guy that had the intimate experience with that, his concept is it was a future, one of our own crafts from the future.
Yeah, so it couldn't have been anything. Could have been anything, yeah. And the thing of it, too, we've spoken before about it, how when you say the term alien life, it doesn't have to be E.T. It doesn't have to be something from Star Wars. It could be a single cell. It could be a plant. It could be microorganism of any kind you come up with. It could be a bacteria. Now, would a bacteria go through the trouble of building a spaceship and flying around Britain? Maybe not, but nevertheless, it's what we don't know, so anything is possible on that. You know what I mean? They may be able, the thought of us, they always talk about oxygen, whenever they're looking at these neighboring solar systems and everything, they always talk about it could be an oxygen-based atmosphere. Well, to our knowledge, the only thing that sustains life is oxygen. Let's say there is some type of organism out there that can breathe off of carbon or hydrogen or any one of those other things off the periodic table. I can't remember,
We've got bacteria in these highly acidic pools that survive and live on different things. They're interesting to say the least.
And so it's a strong possibility. I'd be willing to lean more towards that than what I would, Bigfoot or something of that nature, because the thing about Bigfoot that gives you the kind of the, we'll see about that, is because it's right here. I mean, and again, even Dr. John was hitting on it, if there was a large contingent of these beasts, sooner or later, I mean, we've been looking for these things for hundreds of years. For God's sake, we found the Titanic. We've found all these other shipwrecks that, are under 2-3 miles of water. But yet, for hundreds of years, nobody has tripped over a Bigfoot yet. So,
I don't know, there's other things, Dave. There's the coelacanth. They were sure that thing was extinct. Not only did they find some there off of Africa, but then it turns out that there's a whole other cousin in the genetic line of them that's there in Asia. And these are things that were supposed to be extinct.
Yeah, that's true. If it was something that was existent and still found strains of it. But, I mean, we're talking about things we've never seen. You know what I mean? Versus animals we thought were gone. And I don't know. I just, if I have to lean towards something, yeah, I would lean towards the alien life / portal stuff, because to me it's a little more doable than, say, a Bigfoot or the Abominable Snowman or something to that effect.
Yeah, well, conspicuous by their quiet is Officer and Liz, but they've done the math. The number of planets in the so-called Goldilocks zone is astounding. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's there.
You know, and, Dr. John didn't make a point, is that sometimes science could be its own worst enemy when it comes down to, for lack of a better term, having an imagination. It was one of those things where you could kind of corral yourself with disbelief. You know what I mean? When you're not willing to give the if any credence at all. And sometimes it's the greatest imaginations are the ones who come through with the greatest. I mean, what's the old joke about Alexander Graham Bell, where he's sitting around, looks at his friends and goes, you know what? I want to talk to somebody who's not here. You know, imagine that conversation that day. So somebody invented the microwave. Somebody came up and said, we can cook a tamale with microwaves. Now, if he came up to me, I would have said, what the hell is a microwave? And they said, exactly. But we could contain these microwaves, and we could put kernels of popcorn in a bag that's flat, and you put it in there for 2 or 3 minutes, the bag will swell with freshly popped popcorn that's pre-buttered. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes down to brass tacks, science, if we were to tell somebody 100 years ago, you know, about microwaves or, like John was saying, cell phones or something like that, and 100 years from now, God knows what they're going to have, to be honest with you. I mean, for crying out loud, they're delivering Taco Bell through Grubhub right now. That's the closest thing to a portal I've ever been.
Huh. My brother and I, my brother in Texas, we do Sunday, we get orders for, every Sunday we do food orders for mom. So we're sitting here looking at menus, each of us, you know, three different states looking at one city's menus, and we're placing orders.
Yeah, and who'd have thunk you can do that 100 years ago? You know, it's even 60 years ago, for crying out loud. You know, if you look at all the things that's come along, even in even the medical field. I mean, back in the day, you had polio, you were done. A common cold would put people in the grave. And, you know, nowadays we have stuff that even AIDS to a certain extent. You don't hear about it anymore. Why? Because modern science has gone through and, you know, it hasn't corralled it and it hasn't solved it, but it's found a way to treat it to a certain extent. But, you know, in 1985, you were scared to death to sit on a toilet seat for fear you were going to get it. You don't want to drink out of anybody's can. You know, you didn't want to brush, you know, have somebody use your toothbrush, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and now the topic hardly comes up.
Yeah, not like
so,
it did.
Nah. So I guess we need to move on to a more cheerful topic.
Maybe a more inclusive topic.
Maybe so. So trying to think what's going on out there in the world that would get us through another 15 minutes out here. It's tough to do on two guys. Stro, you still out there? Okay, no Stro, so it's down to the Dave and Todd show because Liz had to split. So,
wow.
So how's your feet,
there
doing,
you go.
Todd? Yeah. That guy walked into a bar with a parrot on his shoulder.
There you go with the jokes. Although I did come up with a line last week that I think you could appreciate. So, for a subject, we're trying to work on some additional documentation. We're going to need a little help with it. Trying to, you know, before I said, I'm not going to use a negative phrase just in case you're listening. Well, yeah, I'm going to use it anyways. You know, I said you can lead a burrow to water, but you can't make a jackass drink. I tried to point it out. So I kept the full email chain, baited them into doing the full email chain, launched it, and knew how it was going to go. Got it to the section. The department was going to go ahead and move it over to move it back to this person's boss. And so this person's boss goes, well, you wrote this, and we happen to be in a room where the stuff was up on display on the wall. You know, the modern version overhead projector for the computers, because that's all it is modern version, you know, live overhead projector. It's kind of cool. It really is just a variation of one of those. And as she's doing this stuff, she goes, you wrote. I go, you sure? She goes, yeah. I go, right here. I go, stop, scroll right there. I go, I wrote this. I put this quotation mark here. Now you can scroll a bit. See, I put the other quotation mark here. Then I added this because you're going to need one of these for your documentation. It's a full picture thing, right? You got to do cradle to grave for what you're doing, right? I go, of course, I put myself down there. I go, now just scroll down. Yeah, stop. Look, that's where I cut and pasted from to put that I put in quotation marks. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read the whole thing. So my response was, next time you go to pin that tail on this particular donkey.
Yeah, make sure you've read the whole message. Not just
I
part
did.
Of it.
Next time you go to pin the tail on this particular donkey. And so that went over pretty well.
It's funny you talking about go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just, you know, at least I'm working with somebody that, you know, they deal with that is, you know, and the best part was why I specifically referred to myself as the donkey. The message was clear.
Yes. It was that sarcastic humor, the ability to convey a message without being confrontational.
At least she had the decency to be chagrined. I'll give her the credit.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Two masters to grieve my ass.
Yeah,
I got your masters to grieve. I got your two master's degrees right here. Oh, no, believe me, this particular lady has taught me a ton about the business. But we have our moments, and you know, and fortunately, most of the folks I deal with are willing to have fun, you know, with stuff like this. Like
that's good.
I sent you guys. I sent you guys over the weekend to the group chat the pictures of what. And oh, by the way, thank you, Liz. We got the pictures of the sunrise. I sent you guys a picture of my culinary inspiration this last weekend.
Yeah, I saw that, man. That looked pretty good.
It's pretty genius, right? My corned beef and cabbage rolls. Look, man, there's a little bit of the corned beef, a little bit of the tater, a little bit of the carrot rolled up in the cabbage, and you get a taste of it, and you got to hit it with some fresh ground black pepper, in my mind. And you get a taste of everything in every bite. And the best part is you get to share it with everybody else the next day.
Oh, I hear you.
Oh, everybody
yeah, we,
heard me.
Yeah.
Everybody heard me. All day.
I missed the whole corned beef brisket this year. Again, the whole retired life thing, it's amazing what a transition. It's almost like I'm feeling like I'm on another planet right now. So it was funny. I didn't realize Sunday was St. Patrick's Day until the evening time when Kevin and me were supposed to be meeting some of the work crowd. They were throwing us one of many bashes we had to go to this week that those wonderful folks we left behind were throwing for us. And I walk in there, and the girl says, oh, you want a green beer? I was like, the hell would I want a green beer for? Kevin's St. Patrick's Day night with. And I was like, oh, wow. Sure is, ain't it? I had absolutely no idea what day of the week it was. I knew it was Sunday. But, yeah, so I missed all the usual drinking of the Tullamore, watching Boondock Saints, St. Patrick's Day traditions that I've set forth for myself. So sooner or later, I will get back in groove with humanity. Looking forward to it, because right now it's still kind of odd feeling.
Oh yeah, well, I did talk to your partner in crime. Well, we didn't talk. We had some chats, and you know, did some IMs back for the because I sent him a picture of my little culinary inspiration, and he was saying he wasn't sure whether to go and buy the bangers that I had made for him last year, or to go ahead and do the corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah, Kevin's always getting Michelangelo in the kitchen, if you will. Me, I'm one of those guys, where I'll stir up a pot of manwich and I'm in hog heaven, so I usually don't go out of the boundaries much, but that did look good.
Yeah, and it's so and the it next still just the same thing. It was just the best part, once again, is you got a taste of everything and every bite.
Yeah. So what's the next holiday coming up where we get to, let's say, April Fool's Day, so you don't want to eat anything that somebody gives you on that day. And then probably don't want to, yeah, especially with somebody like me in the room. You never can tell what you might be biting into, so not that I would ever do a heinous act such as prank somebody, but nevertheless, it's the thought that counts. Let's see, we got Easter coming up, so that'll be the ham and roast and everything. Here, it's amazing how we've kind of evolved, if you will, away from the turkey and ham scene more to a roast or some steaks, you know, on the holiday, like, you know, Easter or something like that. So that will probably be the call here at the house. But
see, talking about steaks, you know what I found? The
what was that?
I saw it in the ad. Bone-in ribeyes and they were only $6.99 a pound.
Oh,
and
wow.
No, they were not select. They were
choice. So they were legit. They were choice. Good. Yeah, bone-in ribeyes, believe it or not, they take they take the same amount of time to cook, but they, despite the bone being in there, but it's not like when you cook beef, you got a lot more liberty in what you do with some of the other meats out there, especially poultry, for crying out loud. You want to make damn certain.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, anything against the bone is cooked with poultry, but when you're talking beef, all the moisture will come from that bone and keep that steak good and juicy and everything. And I know the big thing now is those tomahawk steaks where, you know, you cut them 2 inches thick. Ah, man, keep that thing about 3/4 to an inch, throw it on the grill with that bone attached to it. And, I mean, don't leave it on there for, you know, maybe three, four minutes on either side at the most. And
right.
I'm here to tell you, those bone-in ribeyes are a whole different ball game.
Well, I'm looking, just for the record, the one thing here, I will tell you, and I'm digging in the your fresh manager head, the there's this chain here called Save-A-Lot. Dude, I've been able to wreck on the beef there generally because they actually have the they have T-bones in their choice at $5 a pound.
Wow. Yeah, see, and plus you're getting where you're at, you're getting closer to cattle country. Here in the Carolinas, it's all about pork. And
oh man,
you know,
dude, the pork is pricey here and the chicken is ridiculously high.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, cuz
although they do have, surprisingly, year round, they have all the smoked turkey parts.
Oh, really?
Not unreasonable. Not cheap, but not unreasonable. So, I mean, I'll say the comparable there, and that's big turkey country down there where you're at.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, but
Might
the oh, man, dude, I was going to go with, I miss going through the pork section thinking I'm going to make something where you need generic phrasing ham hocks and you've got all those varieties of jaw bacon, smoked jaw bacon, and just streak of lean and smoked streak of lean, and it just, oh, good grief.
And, you know,
I don't,
proof positive on that is, you know, smoked and or barbecue brisket is just starting to make its way here to the Southeast and everything because, again, it's something that's special to cattle country. I know you go to Kansas City, and I mean every place has a barbecue brisket, and they swear up and down that they do something different than the other guys do. Likewise, here in the Carolinas, same way with barbecue pork. Everywhere you go, somebody's got the best pork in town. Well, you know, it all depends on how hungry you are sometimes. But, and then, of course, pork barbecue down here is different because it's vinegar-based, and it's more of a dry as compared to, say, that, you know, stuff lathered up with barbecue sauce that you get in Texas and that kind of, and in the South, in the deep South, like, you know, Texas and Louisiana, where you get everything smothered with barbecue sauce. Here, it's just the dry vinegar-based, which works. You know, when Liz was talking about cooking a pig earlier, I mean, that's where, you know, you hear the term head cheese. Well, head cheese was from scraping the meat out of the skull cavity on a hog. And
beef ears, everything.
Yeah, there's nothing that goes to waste on a hog. And I'm sure that out there in the Midwest, where it's cattle country, I'm sure the same could be said for a for cows. I mean, I don't see anybody eating hooves, but nevertheless, pig's feet don't do you no harm. But salted tails, I mean, if you take a box of fresh pork tails and smoke them or salt them, people will throw them in their collards all night long. And who'd have thunk you're putting a pig's tail in your chow? But they do it and sell them like mad.
Oh, yeah.
So we've managed to transition from Bigfoot portals all the way to pigtails and collards in 45 minutes flat. That's what makes pop culture stars so damn special, is our ability to...
I told you, the context switching at work has got me just prepped for this stuff.
Our ability to adapt and overcome is definitely worthy of talk, you know. But, yeah, I tell you what, when it comes down, going back while I was talking about being off, or I say off, being retired, and I say retired, it's semi-retired, we'll still be working, we just won't be working at the ridiculous pace we were working before. We will be working for ourselves, and which, you know, puts more of the pressure on us and everything, but I've been taken aback on how much rigor goes into setting up your own business. I can only lament for the people out there who have who break the rules because Lord have mercy. It is so complicated to do it correctly that I can see where somebody would just throw their hands up and say, hey, we're going to bend some rules. We're going to do it this way and fix it later on. But yeah, it has been an adventure to say the least, but it is coming along. So maybe quite possibly that'll be the, one of the topics we can throw around in the, at the show one night. You know, when it comes down, because, you know, John, for all the stuff that he's been through with the Comic-Con business and everything else, I mean, that poor guy, he's been up and down and back and forth when it comes down to good news and bad news from the business world. Right. So, but yeah, it's been a, you know, and again, you want to talk about time vortexes and that kind of stuff. It is the strangest feeling you have when you get up in the morning and you do your usual routine, you know, you get your clothes, you shower up, you get your clothes, you know, you get the house tightened up and everything, and you stop and you look at the clock and it's 7:45 in the morning and you're going, damn, what do I do from here? It's definitely a strange feeling. And dare I say, if I was working a robust 20 hours a week and this happened, I probably wouldn't feel it. But when you are used to working 6-7 days a week, yeah, it definitely is a culture change and a welcomed one. But it is definitely something that's put my head on a swivel for the last week.
Oh, I bet.
I'm sure when you moved up there to where you're at, the same thing happened where you were, you know, between the actual time zone change and everything else, I imagine you were probably, it took you a while to get adjusted to putting something on the table and it didn't move. Where
it took me a while to get a routine. And now one of the things that gets me through it is having a routine.
And despite our antisocial tendencies, we are social creatures. So when we're not out there, you know, having the usual human contact we do at the house or at work or whatever, it does. It throws our timing off pretty bad. But it's a welcome one.
Definitely.
So we're at the 10:05 mark. I know we're supposed to go to 10:30, but there ain't but so far me and you can crawl. So if you don't have anything else, would you like to plug anything? I forgot to do that.
You know what? I'm going to fall back to one of my standard ones. Sup, Mark? I'm going to go ahead and plug Mark, the my brother. He does so much for there, and there's the example that there's for as much as he's along for living geography differently. The guy does more than many people he does more than we than most people do in their life. So, you know, sup, Mark?
Yeah, that's good. And plus everything what your family's going through recently, you know, with your brother passing away and everything. I'm sure that's, and God bless him for going the way he does. Cause somebody's got to pick up the slack and, it's hard. It ain't easy. And, you know, somebody's got to drive this thing, as they say. And, yeah, God bless them for doing all that, man. That is for certain. On my end, to be honest with you, I just want to thank everybody that past, present, future, that worked with, made 33 years worth of beating myself to death in the retail and grocery industry. Just want to say thanks. I had a lot of people come to me and telling me, you took such good care of us. And I kept telling them the same thing. I said, guys, you guys gave me the ability to take care of you. And I think a lot of times, and it's not everywhere, you will get your jerk boss from time to time. Don't get me wrong. Lord knows, Todd, we've been through a handful of them, have we not? But by and large, if you go into work and you do your job and you keep your nose clean and you put your best foot forward, it does give the management or leadership or supervision or whatever word you want to attach to it a whole hell of a lot more room to do good things for people. And it's when you've got a crew full of people that ain't hitting the lick is when it makes it impossible for the leadership to do anything for anybody, including themselves. So, for all the people that we worked with, and Todd, you know a bunch of them, God bless them for what they've done. And I wish them all the best, and I hope they just carry on the spirit of excellence that they've created for themselves prior to them crossing paths with me. So, I'm going to miss them. I'm not missing the monkey business, but I'm definitely missing them. So I wish them all the best.
True that. True that, Al. I don't miss much of it, I don't miss it, but I miss them.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And unfortunately, it seemed as if Liz was the last one to get the word. So
I know. And
I might not be getting
it. When I told her on Sunday morning, I knew. I heard about it.
So, yeah, it's but she's all right. And there was a lot of tears and a lot of hugs and all that stuff saying goodbye. And the funny thing is, funny story before we cut off is, you try your level best when you – there are people out there who want the fanfare and desire the parties and the parades and everything else. Kevin and me, we were just looking to turn our keys in and get the hell out of the building. And they had cards and cakes and balloons and the whole nine yards. So, yeah, it was a very welcome treat. And to watch Kevin's bony ass trying to carry about 30 balloons out to his truck on a windy day was absolute epic. So,
I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was something to behold. But anyhow, with that being said, I am going to go inside, and I am going to get next to the control board before I let everybody go. Do like Mr. Rogers' thing here. As I enter Atwell Manor and greeted by the 150-pound Mastiff.
You posted a pic out in the yard. I think it was your... I think inadvertently when you did the peach tree.
And
I forget the new edition's name, but damn, that she ain't looking a ton healthier.
Yeah, man, she's doing great. And a great addition to the family. Sweet dog.
Yeah, but that picture, I was like, and I went right past the blossom, and I was like, she is looking good.
Yeah, it does my heart a lot of good, man. I was noticing the same. And, you know, when you see her every day, you know she's doing better. But compared to what she was looking like the day that Dale brought her home, I mean, she has really, really made herself at home here at the house and does my heart some good. So I don't know if you hear that heavy breathing and puffing there. That is Misty, the show crashing Mastiff. Wanting to get on the air there, so. But she's been a good big sis for Sadie and everything, and I tell you what, they're two happy dogs, and man, they are the best. There is, and oddly enough, that was one of the big mitigating factors for me when I finally decided it was time to go, was when I come home, and one of the best things about owning a dog is that no matter how much of a jerk you are to humanity, they're always happy to see you. And it got to a point where I would come home and they'd be right there at the door waiting on me, and I'd shove them away, and I wasn't even identifying with the joy that should be bringing me. It had gotten that bad. So now when they're at the door waiting on me, I can't wait to get inside. So yeah. But they're doing real good, and yeah, when that peach tree started blossoming, I thought it had gone. So hopefully that'll be getting some more productive pictures next time I have them aboard, but that'll be for another show.
I hear you.
Well, Todd, it's been a pleasure carrying on with
Dave,
you tonight.
I'm always happy. Look, effectively, We didn't have to do an after show call to sit there and hang out for the last 40 minutes. So that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, man, it wasn't bad at all. And if you ever wonder what it's like getting in on a conversation with me and Todd, you pretty much just got the 411 on it. So welcome to the jungle.
Pretty much.
All right, then. Well, that pretty being much. Said, we'll go ahead and shut it down for the evening. And
big hugs to the rest of the crew, even if they can't hear it. You two, I didn't mean to exclude you. You know what I mean, damn it.
Here's the bad news. I come in here to my computer to get back on the control board, and it looks like my computer is updated while I was doing it or while I was outside. So... now I've got to find a way to sign back on this damn show. It only happens when I'm driving.
Oh,
never
class. Yeah, what could here, hold my beer. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Outside of the one rogue update that Microsoft decided to do at, 2200 at night. All right, let's see. History.
Well, that's a better time than in the middle of the day when you're actually working on them and they schedule them at, you know, 8, 9 a.m.
Yeah, and you have absolutely no, let's see here. And I want to back. Well, obviously, there's nothing going on with the show, like, bad news-wise. Everything seems to be running all right, so.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. So much for my tech-savvy. We'll never get a career in IT. That's for damn certain. Well, anywho. I just don't want to create dead air, so. Well, with that being said, we'll go ahead and turn loose anyway, and I will figure it out, and I'll just apologize to John later. But
we have a big finish up. Then I strongly suggest restart. That'll disconnect it.
Yeah, and we'll see if I can find the British chick.
I downloaded the update.
Yeah, I can't even find it on my history at this point, so I'm going to start from scratch. Good times. But that being said, I guess that'll be it from Todd Saxon, my good brother, and myself, Dave Atwell, for the evening. And hope John's doing well on his Bigfoot Portal Little People broadcast. And, of course, Liz, she's getting some rest for work. And Stro, wherever you're at, wish everything's going well. And I hope you're doing all right. And we will talk to everybody soon. On Pop Culture Stars.
Have a good night, all. Thanks for being on the ride with us.
And this is where I have to do the British chick. Goodbye. All right, man. I'll talk to you in a few. Have a good night.
Later, Dave. Bye, brother.
All right, buddy.